All right, so last week we started a new series of messages called Deeper When God Asks Questions, and the premise is that we grow spiritually when we ask honest questions to God. We have in the Bible people asking honest questions to God, but we also have in the Bible God asking very profound and honest questions. I mean, coming from God, right? They're honest to us. So we're gonna pause the questions there, and we're gonna go back to them in a little bit. I just want you guys to remember those two questions right there. So, and last week we started with a very interesting question that somehow connects to the question for today. Was when God asked a question, is it time for you to be building your houses, panel houses, while my house is still in ruin? Guys, remember that question? And the idea was that God really cares for his house. And the house can be literally the temple and literally us, because we are the temple of God, but also his kingdom. That is what we interpret now as his desire, his kingdom, his house. And today we have a similar, well, not similar, a question that connects to that because it has to do with building the kingdom. And we're going to jump right away to the passage in Matthew 5, verse 13. And it says this: you are the salt of the earth. Very intentional word right there, earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? That's a question of today's message. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So this question or this passage is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. That was, in Matthew's perspective, that was Jesus' first, let's put it like this, public message. When everyone, a lot of people were present to hear that. But it was a message that was geared for discipleship. Jesus was speaking directly to the disciples that he had just called to him, to follow him. And he is showing his heart. And in Matthew's perspective, again, because Matthew is someone, is a gospel that sees Jesus' life from the Hebrew Jewish perspective. Matthew is very interested in helping the Hebrew people to understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the new Moses, in a sense, because the Hebrew people consider Moses as that prophet that they were supposed to follow. So Matthew comes and he places the Sermon on the Mount at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and say, well, you guys remember how Moses gave us a law? So I'm showing you here how Jesus is giving us his law. And in the same way how Moses started his law with the commandments, the Ten Commandments, Jesus starts his law with, help me out, the Beatitudes. So you see a list, a mount. So it's a lot of comparison. And Matthew is saying, Jesus is the prophet that Moses was talking about. So the context of this passage that we just read is right after the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes is the definition of what Christianity, what a Christian should look and feel like. So he places that there, and then he said, you are the salt. After he names all the Beatitudes, right? All the Beatitudes, like poor in spirit, meekness, pure heart, peacemakers, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, those who embrace persecution as part of their faith. And he gives that list. And then he said, you are the salt of the light. It's almost like saying, since you have these qualities, because you are in a relationship with me, because you're hanging out with me, because you're learning from me, because you want to imitate your rabbi, your teacher, then you're going to embrace those characteristics of what a good Christian, a good follower of Jesus looked like. And then he, in a sense, he summarizes and said, all these qualities equal that you are the salt of the earth. And then he adds the other metaphor, which is you are the salt, the light of the world, right? And then he is comparing the disciples to salt. So the questions that you saw there, so let's go back to the first question there, and let's try to remember what Jesus probably, because this is one of the questions that is really hard to answer because Jesus didn't say anything. So the first question is, in Jesus' time, how did people use salt? Go ahead, Andrew. I know you want to answer that one there. What's your answer? E? Okay. A, B, and C. Okay. Who thing is D in that sense, C, but D. To melt the snow. Who thing is was for that? Man, just Jesus throwing salt outside of the synagogue so that people won't slip them. So who else think is E, the last one? Raise your hand. All right, so that is exactly what most likely people heard when Jesus said this. But if you see there, I mean, and those notions are present because there was no necessarily one thing that Jesus wanted to highlight like more than the others. However, there is this idea that when I just hear the first sentence, I just picture myself sitting there and Jesus saying, and said, you are the salt of the earth. Which one does that connect to? To be, would you say? So, and in fact, yes, salt was used in small quantities to help the ground to be more fertile and to receive the seed and to be able to produce fruit, right? But it was also used as a preservative for food. There was no cooling back then, so they would use salt to put that around meat, fish, to keep it fresh for a few days or weeks or so. So, and then the other idea is definitely to add flavor to the food, which is the most common use that we get. But in all of those things, when you combine all those things, just think of Jesus, his desire for the disciples and understanding who they were. He said, he gave the Beatitudes, right? And then he says this, and then he jumps to his law, his instructions for what good discipleship looked like. And he talks about things like murder, like killing people, adultery, divorce, eye for an eye, love for our enemies, praying, fasting, money, love for money. That's the Sermon on the Mount. So in there, Jesus is starting and saying, here is the intro. So the Beatitudes are an introduction to the whole sermon. And right before the entire sermon, he says, this is your identity, your salt. And because you're salt, you have to think in terms of your function and how you live out your identity. You're supposed to preserve what's good, right? You're supposed to preserve what's good. You're supposed to help the ground to be fertile for the seed. And you're supposed also, to help, so we have, as a fertilizer, preservative, and what's the other one? A seasoning. So you're supposed to bring a distinctiveness to this world that nobody else can bring. A flavor that no other good thing can bring to this world. You're supposed to highlight and enhance the flavor of what is good in this world. And you're saying that's your identity. And I love it that Jesus is not saying when you become salt or if you become salt. He is declaring and saying, you are. He's stating our identity as his children, his followers. And we are. So imagine the salt. You go to, you prefer a grocery store and you buy salt and you put it there. That salt has the qualities to preserve, to help with as a fertilizer if you needed to, and to season your food. The salt in the shelf won't do anything unless it's used. Even though the identity, the molecules of the salt are there, ready to be used, ready to accomplish its purpose, even though it's there, if it's not used, it's not worth it. It's just there. You can take it back and get your money back. But Jesus is saying, you are. So in terms of what Jesus is trying to accomplish with the disciples, he's saying at the end of that paragraph right there, he's saying something after he talks about being the light of the world. What's the purpose of being the salt? So in verse 16b, he says something very powerful. The purpose why we are salt. So 16, Matthew 5:16b says this. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The purpose of our identity, the purpose of Jesus wanting us to embrace our identity as salt, is that others may see his good deeds and join us in the glorifying of our Father in heaven. Isn't that similar to what we spoke and learned last week, building God's house? We are supposed to be living out an identity. For many of you, or for some of you, the purpose of the church is to fix your sin. The purpose of the church is to come and tell you what's wrong with you so that you can make decisions and change your bad habits and bad behaviors. But that's not even necessarily the purpose of the church. Jesus called the disciples in a very gentle, encouraging, inspiring way and said, come and see, come and follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men. And we today, because of the generations of what we inherited from centuries of misunderstanding of what the mission of the church was, we got this idea that we exist to fulfill a checklist so that we can be counted as children of God. And that's not why we exist. That's not why you were called to him. In the relationship, in the intimacy, in the connection that we develop with Jesus, naturally our bodies would start disliking and out of convictions, not wanting to do those bad things that, yes, Jesus is not happy with those things. But Jesus is not after us to make us look and behave well for the sake of behaving well. Even in that, there is purpose, says that, so that others might see your good deeds and also join the worship and the glorification of the Father. So the Sermon on the Mount, even though we read it as something very black and white type of things, do not kill, adultery, do not do this, Jesus is really elevating or fulfilling the meaning of all those laws and helping us to seek in our hearts what is it that we really want from him. We want transformation. We want deep encounter with him so that naturally, organically, those beatitudes will flow naturally of who we are. so that naturally I would thirst and hunger for righteousness, for a character of Jesus in my life. That naturally I will seek and I will have a desire for purity in my life. Not because I have to, not because that's what the pastor is saying, not that's what, but because my grandpa is asking me to. It's just because I feel in my heart naturally that in that relationship with the Spirit, those things are becoming part of who I am. So Jesus, when he called you, he called you to him so that in that relationship you would feel, again, naturally with that bent towards him and what is good in him. So when Jesus said, you are the salt, he's stating that. You are with me. You're hanging out with me. You're learning from me. You are becoming more and more like me. That's the purpose of our faith, to be more and imitate Jesus in every way. So when we embrace that identity, when we embrace we are salt, yes, we embrace the Beatitudes. But what's the last Beatitude? Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Why would someone be persecuted just because? Honestly, I am so happy, so glad, and at the same time, I want to experience what it means to be in a world that has that type of faith that is developed out of persecution. Because that's a different type of faith. So when Jesus ends the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are you because you're persecuted. Why? Because the disciples embraced their identity as the ones who were given the privilege and the task, the responsibility of helping others to glorify the Father in heaven. So persecution is the result of embracing our identity. And that is being salt. That is being salt. So let's go to question number 2. Let's put it up there. It says, in Jesus' time, how could salt lose its saltiness? Jesus says this, okay, if salt loses its saltiness, well, he's saying you are, and then he's saying if salt loses its saltiness. Well, scientifically, it's impossible. It has to happen like years before salt loses its saltiness. But there were some situations there, that's letter D, where you would have situations where salt exposed to fire would lose its saltiness. Mauricio, some of you know that he taught me a trick, and I didn't know that. I mean, probably it was connected to how they used salt back then. He said to start a fire to cook a sancocho, which is a big soup that we cook outside. It's a huge pot there. You need wood to get a fire going. You put a napkin, you put salt and oil, and that goes and stays, and it doesn't burn. You know, I just threw the napkin in there, and that disappears like after 5 seconds, right? But he said, just put the salt and a little bit of oil, and that thing will stay there and help the wood to get going, the fire to get going. So salt back then was used as a fueler somehow. And after that, yes, it would lose its saltiness. So when Jesus said that, they would connect. Okay, I remember in the bakeries in our neighborhood, when these bakers would use blocks of salt to keep the fire going. After that, after exposure to heat, they would lose its saltiness. The other situation was always combined with gypsum. I'm assuming gypsum, I Googled it because I was like, sounded like a gypsy kings, like a hippie in Europe. And it's gesso. Is that the right word? is what they used to build the cast. Okay, so back then also was, they knew that some of the salt that they would get from the Dead Sea was combined with gypsum, and with combined with other minerals, at some point it will lose its saltiness. So they, okay, there is a possibility that they would think, okay, when we combine, when we're exposed to something, I'm pretty sure, and this is my guess, when Jesus said when exposed to fire, he was just connecting that to the persecution. Because that is testing of the faith. And throughout the New Testament, the testing of the faith is key for our faith. We have to embrace the testing of our faith. So Jesus is defining, we are the salt of the earth. Do not resist fire. It's good. But there is a possibility as you go through fire that you will lose its saltiness. How many of you have experienced that? I have. When I have been put to test, it seems like my spirituality is diminished. I feel like I'm not myself, because fire has the potential to make me less salty in a sense. It's diminished my true identity. When I'm exposed to the fire, to the test, whether it's through because of my faith or whether because God is testing something in me, he's taking me through the fire, those beatitudes are at risk. And the things that I'm prompted to are the easiest for me to go to. I don't want to be a peacemaker when I'm being tested. It's not natural in me. Because I have a history, I have things in me that I was exposed to and lifting a lot of violence, and I was a violent teenager. So for me, being exposed to fire exposes my weaknesses. In other words, it diminishes my capacity to be salty. And what about the other one? When I combine with other things in the world, I'm losing my saltiness by living and embracing other things that are not good in me or from God. So how do we then answer that question? How would you answer that question to you? Jesus is declaring you and me as salt of the earth. We're supposed to impact our surroundings, people around us. We're supposed to season, to add flavor, to enhance flavor. We're supposed to prepare people and help people to see something different and to have hope about this life. Is that what we do in our normal life? The Beatitudes are not a shirt that we put on. The Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount are supposed to be our natural life, our new self. So when you think, in which situations of my life I'm actually being salt, Jesus expects the answer is 24/7. And for some of us, that means like, oh man, I have to look like a believer right now. If that's the answer, then you know what's happening. It's not natural in you to be pure of heart, to be meek, to be poor in spirit, to thirst and hunger for righteousness. It's not natural. So that's why it hurts to be consistent with our flavor, because we are not yet there. But Jesus is saying you are. That's how Jesus sees us. You have me, Jesus said, and because of that, there is something in you that can help this world and that can help people at some point to come and join everybody else in the glorifying of the Father. That's the purpose. So, what do you do from Monday to Saturday and Sunday's afternoon that will show that you are salt? When you go to work, when you are at your house, when you are by yourself, when you are in your office, what are you doing that somehow demonstrates that you are embracing and living out your identity as salt? I don't know what Jesus expected the disciples to answer there. Honestly, I don't know. But because of what he said there, and because of the context, the use of the salt, and the possibility that there were things that could affect their identities, as salt also experienced that, I think Jesus was trying to say, hey, do you want to know what it means to follow me? I think that's the translation of that question. And Jesus said, I just spoke about the Beatitudes, and I'm going to tell you a few more things. If you have your Bible, and you just go chapter 5, 6, and 7, that's the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew, you will see, oh, I get it. I get it. If I am prompted to adultery, to looking at women, you know, and kind of like, to lust, you know, if I'm prompted to lying, to greed for money, to the love, you know, for love of money, if I'm prompted to fight, if I'm not showing a good testimony of who my Christ is, if people don't know that a little bit of that about me, then there is something that needs to be restored in your understanding of why God called you to him. Because you're salt. And the natural thing about salt is where it's put, it will add seasoning. It will do something. Things won't stay the same. So what do others see in you? What are those Beatitudes? Just when you go home, just read the Beatitudes throughout the week and just reflect on that. That's going to enhance your flavor, your saltiness. Just go through it. Just go through it. And you will see, oh, okay, maybe that's why people don't see that natural faith in me. So the invitation from this question is, it's an invitation to be a witness, definitely, because salt needs to be used in order to add taste and flavor to food. And it's a call to live out our spiritual nature in Jesus. I call it natural evangelists. Natural evangelists. When you embrace your identity as salt, you don't have to do much about evangelizing others. People will sense that, and at some point, God is going to make sure that others know who you are. And the basic, most important things about who we are is not our citizenship, is not our skin color, is not our titles, is who our God is. And that's the most important thing. So when we embrace that, at some point, people are going to come and say, hey, you know, there is something different, whatever that is, whatever that is. Oh, God, provoke an opportunity for you to be salt, to bring hope, to help that person to be a little bit more prompted to the word, to add seasoning to a situation where it's hopeless, loveless. So what do others think of your faith? What do others think of your faith? Is what defines your saltiness. And you have it. Jesus said you have it. Probably it's just in the shelf. Probably it's just in the shelf. You just have to leave it out. Naturally, you will become an evangelist. And because of living out that, others will come to give him praise and glory. That's how he ends that. So that they may see your good deeds. In other words, they will see your nature, your life. Salt of the earth. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much, because when you called us, you knew our brokenness, you knew who we are, you knew our need, our sin, but also you called us to join you in the work of loving this world and changing this world. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, because you define who we are. You called us, you're the salt. That's right, your identity. Thank you so much for giving me purpose. Thank you so much for defining my purpose. Thank you so much for even seeing something good in me, which is you, and through you, that could be used to add flavor, taste, in other words, hope, life, faith to others. What a gift. Church, we have been given the power to add flavor, whatever that might be. You can call it hope, faith, love, patience, joy, faithfulness, goodness, whatever that might be. You have been given that privilege to cause that, to be an agent of transformation. So do not think of yourself just a salt in the making and just, I need to be on the shelf and wait. Just think of you being ready and having something in you that others can see, that will point them to Jesus. That's the purpose of our saltiness. That's the purpose of our identity. Father, we want to worship you. We want to praise your name. And we want to give you thanks, because in the same way how you loved us, you empower us with your spirit to love others, to impact their lives, to change their lives in your name, through your power, with your blessing, with your favor. Father, and one of the things that I pray for us and for me, is that my compassion for those who don't know you will grow, that my love for them will grow, that I would understand your love for them, and I would have that desire to love them in the same way, Father. Otherwise, my faith will be just a religion. If I don't have that deep compassion, Father, for the lost, for those who don't know you, those who are hopeless, those who are dying without you, if I don't have that deep conviction and understanding in my heart, I won't be able, Father, to love them the same way you do. And I might not be able to do that 100%, but I want to grow in that compassion, in that love, and embrace my reality, my calling, my identity. So as a Father, give me compassion so that others may see something in me that will point them to you so that they can glorify your name. That's your purpose. That's your purpose. That's why Jesus called you. You are. You are. He declared that you are. So ask Jesus, as we sing this next song, to give you a compassion for those who don't know Jesus. As we think of VBS, think of all those kids, all those families. Most of them don't go to church. So as we worship, let's present ourselves. And let's present our community. And as we continue doing ministry in this community, I pray that we all will grow in our love, in our compassion for those who don't know him. That's why we exist. That's why we exist, to be salt.